Third hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Monday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a good start to your week. Happy March. Yes, it is March. Holy cow. Where did the time go? Going to be an interesting month on this show. Lots of things going on. J.J. Watt, lots of things going on in the NFL. J.J. Watt has decided his next team will be these Arizona Cardinals. He'll be over in the NFC. He's going to reunite with DeAndre Hopkins. And looks like he's getting a two-year, $31 million deal, 23 of it guaranteed. So J.J. Watt to Arizona. Not coming to the AFC South. Not going to stay in the division of his former team. Not coming to the AFC. He's going with the Arizona Cardinals. I think we all would have probably known the answer if we knew he was going to get $15.5 million per year. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe with you. I think we're checking. Do we have our man Vince Ferrara?
We do.
All right. We have Vince on the line from WNML, the sports animal there in Knoxville, at Vince Sports on Twitter. Vince, this Vols team, I can only imagine what the chatter is going to be like on your radio station today.
Yeah, by the way, I don't have a Peloton bike either, but those are expensive. I don't make that kind of money.
They're very expensive, yes. They have good commercials, but they're very expensive.
Right, exactly. And they're always at a really luxurious spot, too, where those people are using those Peloton bikes. But great to be with you guys. Yeah, it is. Frustration has been there. It just continues to grow with that Tennessee basketball team. And 6-6 over their last 12 games. And, you know, when they win, you know, sometimes they have the offense and look impressive. Other times, like the Vanderbilt game, you're like, meh. You know, they won. You know, Vandy didn't have the two best players, and that game was still close at the end. And then, you know, when they lose, sometimes they're close, but other times they look horrible, like they did in that second game with Kentucky. So this team, as it continues, people talk about the inconsistency. I think they're pretty consistently a non-threat right now. I mean, we've just seen this for far too long. That's consistency to me. When you're doing the same thing for an extended period of time, that's consistency. And it's hard to watch, honestly, because it's, you still want to see if what your preseason thoughts were about this team, if they can put it together. But I mean, I think we're getting to the point of flushing that. They're shortened bench and they're relying on their freshmen too much. You know, the Auburn didn't have their best player in Sharif Cooper, and they were still effective. And guys, it's just some of the there's so many things that are wrong, but just some of the things you see are head scratching within the game. I can get into it if you want, but it's, you know, it's a growing list of things that just don't make sense with this team.
Tell me which side of the fence you're on. There's a school of thought that this team was overhyped coming into the season, overrated. They're not as good as everybody made them out to be. And there's also a school of thought that they're poorly coached. And I'll just tell you right now, I do not buy the overhyped, overrated. I've watched this team basically all season. I believe that they are a very, very talented team. I think, obviously, that they could get more production, more than just Johnson and Springer, it seems like, night in and night out. I've identified them for weeks that they're their best players on the team, but they should get more production elsewhere. I believe they're poorly coached, or at least the coaching could be better. What side of the fence are you on?
It's honestly, to get to this drop-off, Darren, from what was expected of this team, it's some of both, honestly. And I think it's an outstanding staff, but they're not reaching their players, let's put it that way.
What you're just bringing up, like, I hear Rick Barnes reference constantly, you know, their mentality and what it takes, you know, to win, and some of the things they're not doing. And then I immediately go, because we've talked about this on the football side of things, right, with coaches that have gone by the wayside when they start bringing up stuff like this in post-game right. pressures, where it's like, you know, we talked to you on Monday, and it's like, well, Vince, isn't it the coach's job or the staff's job to get to them that point? I hear a lot from Rick Barnes here lately where I go, well, coach, isn't that your and your staff's job to get them to a certain point or to get that mentality in them?
It is, 100% it is. It's his responsibility. I think it is, I don't know, he hasn't said this in terms of comparing to past teams. I think this might be one of his most frustrating coaching seasons he's had because of the inability to reach guys and get them to be locked in. Like he talked about, you know, in a timeout, having everybody repeat what the play was, and then seconds later they get out on the court and they don't execute the play is. You had at the end of the first half in that game, 4 and change seconds left in the half, Tennessee inbounding back in their own end and trying to get up a shot. Fulkerson and Pons pass back to each other. Pons inbounds into the Fulkerson, back to Pons, and he's dribbling up to half court and then calls a timeout with 0.4 seconds left in the half. What good does that do you? And of course they weren't able to score in that situation, but I mean, there's just no urgency to get up the court. Like, what are you doing? But that is still all, whether it's the players and their veteran players too, which makes it even more head scratching. However you get to the result has to come from the coaches. And Barnes in the post game, to your point, Darren, talked about mental toughness and competitive spirit. And he's calling those guys out for that. And he also was asked in the post game, I thought this was very interesting. He said, he was asked, how tough is it to have your two freshmen be your toughest players mentally on the team? And he was like, I mean, he almost summarized it all in that and said, he said it's one of the most frustrating and disappointing things, the hardest things in coaching to come to that realization. And he said, you know, that's very, very tough for him. So however you've gotten to it, it's still on his lap. And fans bring up how much he makes all the time. And it is their responsibility. And it's hard to really know why there's that disconnect. But guys are just not focused. In the Vanderbilt game, they were the referee put the ball down for an inbounds. Like, there were five players on the court, but no one went to inbounds the ball. So the referee just put the ball down, started the count, and Josiah Jordan James had to sprint to the out of bounds spot to inbound the ball. Luckily, they were able to get it inbounds. But what is that? And so they don't look engaged on the bench. They look like they're just in a trance. They don't have juice. It's hard to explain how this team has gone for their talent that we thought going into the year to playing like that. But on the talent part of it, look, people expected a lot out of Victor Bailey, myself included. He has at times prolific score, other times he can't stay on the court because of letting guys blow by him defensively. EJ Anasicki was supposed to be this other force inside for rebounding. He's missed a ton of shots at the rim, so can't stay on the court and hasn't been effective on the boards. So all of these guys that you thought were going to be able to be a part and add to this depth, that's not the reality of this team. We haven't seen improvement from Olivier Cumwa, another potential post player. Pons and Fulkerson have regressed. So at some point you got to come to the realization that, yes, maybe we anticipated them being something and they're not in reality. I think that is a part of it. Look, college basketball, you have to project because there's so many young players. There's so many transfers. There's no finished products. Football is more of a finished product. Basketball, you have to project because of that. So you're going to be wrong. And people have been wrong about a lot of the blue bloods this year also. But the talent being overrated is part of it. But, yes, there's also coaching responsibility in it, Darren.
And they've got another McDonald's All-American kid coming to campus this summer, which on one hand is great, Vince, but on the other hand, he can keep bringing in these five-star recruits, McDonald's All-Americans, but you know what lap it falls into if they're not successful, right? It's not the kids. It's going to fall into Rick Barnes' lap, and that's great that the talent pool keeps getting better and better and more dynamic players are coming to Knoxville, but you better produce or everybody's going to look solely at the coach and say, you're the problem. You're getting these kids here, but you're not developing these kids. Honk if you've heard that before at UT.
Yeah, for sure. And look, Kentucky is a perfect example. You can't just stockpile five stars and say, we're ready to go, or one and done type players. You need them with veteran players. And that was what was exciting to a lot of Vols fans about this year, is you had returning players. You had a transfer that was eligible that you thought would be a difference maker in Bailey, an inside post in Anasicki, and the development of the other young players. You add five stars, a previous five star, and Josiah Jordan James, in next year, he'd take that next jump. Feel like you have all this depth, and that just has not been the reality. So, yes, they need more than just adding five stars. They can't shoot their way out of problems and issues and breakdowns. When some of these elite teams in the country, if they're having breakdowns in on-ball defending or their pick-and-roll defense, which Tennessee was not very good at against Auburn, whatever the case may be, you can shoot your way out of those issues. Tennessee cannot shoot their way out of breakdowns and issues elsewhere. They play offense like they're wondering, what am I supposed to do here? Is this the right play? Do I shoot here, or am I supposed to pass within the offense? So they are not playing with passion and connected. And all those are intangible things besides the players. So, yes, it has to all come together. Kennedy Chandler probably has a chance to be, he is exactly what they would need this year, but in a true point guard. So they would fill that spot that they don't have right now. But they're still going to need shooting. They're still going to need scoring. There's going to be a lot need to be a lot of roster turnover from this year, next year, in order for Chandler to have a successful season. Because it's a good chance that both Springer and Johnson are gone, and then Pons and Fulkerson. I mean, I guess they could conceivably come back, but I don't think that's going to happen. And you could have more roster turnover as well with people leaving. So I think it's going to be a much different team next year.
Talking to Vince Ferrara, and Vince, with all of this talk about how they've slipped and what they are now, what are you thinking in terms of seeding right now? Pretty big game against Florida. That could make a difference for sure. And then there's the SEC tournament, but what's the seed range slip to now?
I think you're looking at this team being a 6 or a 7. Yes, they could beat Florida. If they do, then you're probably looking at the 5 line. But if they were to lose to Florida, I think it's going to be a short stay in Nashville. And obviously, if you don't get a top 4 seed, which I don't think they will, then you're in the SEC tournament. Then you're looking at having to play an extra game. And when you're up and down, you got to play an extra game. That means a quicker exit potentially. So if they just get Florida and they're one and done in Nashville, then you have no way else to boost your resume. And I think you fall into a 7 line. Then obviously when you're in a 7 line, you're going to play somebody pretty good. Either way, they're going to play somebody pretty good. This team is very much a candidate with the way they're stumbling down the stretch to be an early exit even in the NCAA tournament. So, Willie, it's probably in that 5 to 7 range, just based, one, on Florida, and two, what they do in Nashville. If they get on a run somehow out of nowhere, then yeah, and maybe get to the SEC title game or something and run off a string of games that we hadn't seen all year in conference play, then that might give fans some renewed hope for the NCAA tournament that they can string together some wins. But right now we haven't seen it. It's hard to comprehend that. So I think you're looking at something in the middle six seed or seven seed more than likely.
It's such a tricky year to figure out seeds too, because right. of the number of games that have been played, the lack of those interconference battles. So there's a wild card factor in that too. And here's another one for you, Vince, along the wild card. Tennessee, they played Saturday. They don't play again until Sunday, and then their first game in the SEC tournament would be Thursday, correct?
Yes.
So that's a long stretch to have only one game. So this is an interesting time to see what the coaching staff does to try to sharpen things up. Like, you could really take a few steps back and really work on some things in practice, right, before you're really starting to prepare for Florida on Sunday. So you got a couple extra days here. So these few days of practice, I'm curious how he approaches this. But it could be a good thing, maybe not, but sometimes just getting away from it. Maybe he just doesn't tell them to come to the gym for a couple of days, but I don't know where they would go. Like, the more college students I talk to, they talk about how the challenges of being on campus, being in school, or whatever it is you're doing, whether you're actually Zooming in class or actually on campus or not. You throw that into the mix too. But long stretch to only play one game between now and the start of the SEC tournament.
Yeah, it is a good point, Willie. There's that opportunity for them to reset and either refocus or get back to some fundamentals and try to use it to get better, because they did have a lot of missed time earlier in the year with their pauses. So, there is the chance that could help. We'll see. That will be something different they haven't dealt with this whole week to work before Sunday. And I think that Florida game is Sunday because of Florida's schedule and giving them, a little bit of extra time. And then Thursday also. So they'll take whatever they can get. I don't know how much they can develop their shooting or develop a point guard at this point. Springer is getting more and more minutes there. But, it also takes a toll on him. He has to do so much, and there's still some of those freshman mistakes. And I don't even blame Springer and Johnson for their issues, because they didn't have the work, the preseason and practice work they would have earlier in the year. And because so much is on their shoulders, like Darren mentioned, they are their two best players, that stuff is going to happen. It's just everybody else isn't carrying their load. So unless this is a reset for the older players, I don't know that it makes a huge difference for them, but we'll see how they handle it.
Talking to Vince Ferrara, 99.1, the Sports Animal, WNML in Knoxville, joins us every Monday at noon. Shifting to some football, Ty Simpson, five-star quarterback, in-state product. Everybody was awaiting his decision and where he was going to go. Unfortunately, it was not Tennessee, even though Tennessee was in the mix. He goes with Nick Saban in Alabama. Were you really surprised? Because I wasn't necessarily. And would the big story have been if he had chosen Tennessee?
Definitely. That would have been a massive get for Josh Heupel, and it would have been something noticed around the recruiting world by analysts and then obviously by recruits, that, wow, Josh Heupel that quickly was able to bring back into the fold Ty Simpson. But it didn't play out that way. It's not a surprise he went to Alabama. I think a lot of us expected Alabama. Clemson was probably two, and then Tennessee three. Tennessee was there on his final list with a baseball cap. The one thing to remember is that there's still a long way to go to that early signing period. So maybe Heupel can make up ground. Now, there are some decommits from Alabama from time to time, more than Clemson. Well, that's hard. That's hard to pull a quarterback and any top player away from Alabama. But they're going to keep trying and working on it. They had another quarterback, their next target, in Sam Horn, who's from Sewanee, Georgia. He committed to Missouri yesterday. So then you keep going down the line after that. And, maybe in the local product, Caden Martin, who is T. Martin's son from here, Catholic high school, is a dual threat type of quarterback. You could see him having the skill set that maybe a Heupel and his staff would want. But T. Martin just left the staff. So what does that impact his relationship? Tennessee is in the Final Four for him. As he announced, he's making his decision on Wednesday. So maybe that's a route they go. But I'm guessing they're not giving up on Simpson just yet.
Yeah, and I mean, that's kind of the way that it's going to have to go as the world continues to turn there in Knoxville. So all the coaches that we've heard, they've been reported they're going to join Josh Heupel's staff. They've now been announced, but there's still one spot available on that staff. Any new news on how they might go, the direction they might go with that?
Well, not really specific names, but the way the staff, when you lay it out and look at it, they've got a DB coach in Willie Martinez, and they've got a DC that has always had a slash position in the secondary, usually safety. So you would expect Martinez coaches corners and Tim Banks, the defensive coordinator, this is the DC slash safeties coach. You hire Brian Jean-Marie from Michigan as a linebackers coach, Rodney Garner on the D-line, and you still have one position open. You know, they're going to be running, you know, 4-3, 4-2-5 on defense. So I don't know that they would put a second linebacker coach in that group. But, I think what's open in looking at it and laying it out, unless they haven't announced it, the specific position is special teams. So, you know, maybe there's a special team slash something else. But I think that's one of the directions they might go. They do have some options and, you know, the type of coach they can bring in to give him a position. But and Josh Heupel did have, Ryan Callahan pointed this out on that Sunday show that I'm on, Josh Heupel did have a special teams only coach on a staff at UCF. So that could be the direction they go. But they still have options, and I don't think they're in any super rush. Once they fill that last spot, though, Tennessee has told us that they will make all those five defensive guys available to us to talk to, just like the offensive guys. And, you know, I was impressed by those offensive guys. So look forward to seeing what they have to say once they finally close it out.
I know you were on the call for baseball this week, went 4-2. How's the Vols baseball team looking?
Yeah, actually not as sharp as honestly I expected. They, you know, blew out Arkansas Pine Bluff a couple of games, scored 21 and 14 runs, but Arkansas Pine Bluff isn't very good. They went up against some pretty good pitching against Indiana State this weekend and split two games. They won the first and last game and lost the two games in the Saturday doubleheader. You know, Tennessee did not hit well with runners on and just weren't quite as sharp anywhere around. And then maybe the most noteworthy thing from the weekend is their terrific right-hander Jackson Lee, who, you know, he's turned down real money for Major League Baseball twice, when he first came in before last year and then this year's shortened draft. And he came back to Tennessee to try to compete for an SEC championship. He left after three batters yesterday with an injury, and he was really, you know, Ginger looked like he might have grabbed his, his hamstring. We'll see. I haven't heard. Tony Vitello will be on our afternoon show today, so we'll see if we get an update. But, man, if they lose him for any extended period of time, I mean, that's a frontline weekend type of arm that could really hurt them. So did some good things, fought back and you know, gutted out a couple of wins. But in Indiana State's better than what people think, but not quite as sharp as we've seen them in February and non-conference games over the last couple of years. We'll see how that works out.
All right, we will pay attention for sure. Vince, thanks for the time as always. Good to talk to you. We'll do it again next week.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. Vince Ferrara joins us every Monday at noon, 99.1 The Sports Animal, WNML in Knoxville. We will continue to watch what happens with Vols Hoops and Rick Barnes. We'll come back with more here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.